Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows. All you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to lie on your resume so that you don't have to answer calls from strangers? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I'm fine, yeah, I guess.
Such sad music.
I mean, I guess I could be better.
My question is, I feel like they played that music like 7 times.
Oh, season. No.
And maybe, it wasn't even just Ruby and Noel. And it was like Julie got that music. And maybe even Felicity got that music.
Everyone's sad. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're in the trenches.
Yeah.
Everything's so difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. I won't abuse that too much.
We're going to need to add it to our soundboard.
That's why I was late a couple of seconds for
you're trying to find it.
Well, yeah, I was trying to, and then I was like editing it within my iPhone. I was like, oh, I got to get the sound clip.
No, we'll have to get that sound clip and add it to our soundboard so that we can abuse the hell out of it.
Yeah. You know, it's not, Jessica. Abuse is not good. Please don't say the A word here.
Oh my
here.
God. Oh,
are
so
you
we're
a
talking
victim of Jessica Sterling's abuse. Yes, actually, I am. Yes.
Season 2, episode 13, Truth or Consequences. This episode of Felicity is a downer. So just a heads up, we're going to be talking about like abortion and, you know, another like a terrible sexual encounter for Julie. Yeah, sexual assault. So we'll have some resources in the show notes.
And then we have Ben vibing like usual.
Ben is vibing. Ben is just vibing per huge. Everyone else is suffering.
Yeah, Ben's fine. Like Ben's life is fine.
Yeah, as usual.
Yeah, I mean, like, he has no idea what he's going to do, but it's okay because Tony Soprano, or whatever the fuck her name is
Tony Pavone,
is going to help her out.
Yeah, my favorite part of the episode is when he accused her, her
music.
Yeah, what kind of music is it? Like opera music classical. Or something? Classical, thank you. Yeah. The classical music of being elevator music.
Yeah, so like so funny. The thing is that I hate classical music because I associate it with doctors.
Yeah.
Like whenever I hear classical music, like my heart tightens. Like I have like major doctor anxiety. And like the main reason is because I associate it with doctors. I remember telling my therapist that once. I was like, your music – because in the waiting room, makes me anxious as fuck. And it is elevator music. I don't care if like it's Beethoven or Pachelbel or whatever.
See, I associate jazz music with elevator music, like light jazz. Like this sort of orchestral classical music, I don't really like associate with anybody. I feel like anytime I've ever been in a doctor's office, they're usually playing like the top 20 hits of today. Like that's usually what it is. Really? So I guess I just don't have that.
Is like, it the top 20 hits of 1500s? Are you sure? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know what it is? I have not sat in a doctor's office without headphones on, like in a really long time, like in the waiting room.
Oh, so you're listening to the top.
No, I'm probably listening to a podcast. I had this conversation. Okay, I need to poll our listeners. I feel like our listeners tend to skew like, you know, on the younger side, right? Like under the age of 40 is probably most of, you know, where our demographic is.
Sure.
And last weekend, I spent some time with my extended family, all of whom are older than I am. And we were chatting about, I don't know, even know what. And I was like, wait a minute, you're telling me that when you're in the grocery store and when you're like shopping alone, it's, you know, the caveat is you're alone when you're doing this, you don't have headphones on. And they were like, no. And I'm like, how do you live? I'm like, how are you? I can't be alone with my thoughts for that long. I will die.
Sure. I mean, I think are they listening to the store music?
I think they're just thinking like, oh, I need to buy bread. And oh, yeah. You know what I mean? They're not actively listening to anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're actively listening to podcasts like 24/7.
If I am shopping alone, it doesn't matter if it's Home Goods, the grocery store, Aldi, any of those places, I'm listening to a podcast or music. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not listening to whatever is happening in the store. I have headphones on and I'm listening to my stuff.
I think like, yeah, like most of the time I'm listening to music or something, but I don't think I have the same ailment as you that I'm, you know, I do sympathize with you that you can't be alone with your thoughts. It must be really hard. I mean, you are going through so many hardships on a day to day and on a day to day. Yeah.
Well. Yeah, I just want to know. So listeners, please let us know if you are like shopping and you're alone. Again, like if I'm shopping with someone else, I obviously don't have headphones and I'm chatting to them.
Yeah.
But if I'm shopping alone,
That's more likely that I put headphones in. I'm like, don't talk to me.
Please. Honestly, the headphones are great in terms of keeping people away from you because they usually don't approach you. Because I also wear over the ear. I'm not wearing like tiny earbuds. I'm having over the ear chonkers on, you know, they could see them from a mile and they're pink.
You got some. Beats?
They're the same brand as these. Hold on. I'm looking real quick. Soundcore.
Okay.
Soundcore, and they're pink. They're like a light pink.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'm kind of in my pink era. Have I said this before?
No, but that just means that you're entering my shit. So
yeah.
Now I'm going through hardships.
Where's the soundtrack? Play it.
Stop stealing my shit. No, what do you mean you're going through your pink era?
So, okay.
Stop playing the music. It's not that anymore.
It's not that sad. Generally speaking, okay, so I don't know if you fall into this as well. I feel like you do, but like, let's pretend you're buying anything, right? Like, let's even pretend you're buying like a koozie, like a can koozie or something. Sure. And it's like, you're on Amazon and they have 17 color options, right? Yeah. 9 times out of 10, I will take a purple option. Right. However, let's pretend there is no purple option and I'm looking at the rest of the colors. Pink has suddenly skyrocketed to being like my second option.
Why? And how? Where did this come from?
I don't really know. I think it's, and you know what it is? It's a specific like light pink, you know, like I'm not looking for like your hot pink Barbie pink sort of color. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's like soothing, I think.
Oh, so you're saying color. My favorite color. Once again, I start the trends.
My favorite color is gray.
No, it's gray and pink. Yeah. I'm pretty consistent. I typically buy things that are, well, it's either, okay, so like I just like decorated my office, blah, 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 blah. Like the vibes are either like gray, pink, gold, silver.
Grayish.
No, I don't grayish.
That chair looks grayish.
No, the chair is actually pink.
That is not pink.
Bitch, it is. The color is fucking mauve.
It's okay, pink. It doesn't look pink from this angle. No, but
it's pink. Okay. It's pink.
All right.
Pink. And then for my common areas, I always go like blue.
Blue. Yeah, green. You are very blue. And you love a neutral as well.
I do love a neutral. I'm pretty consistent. Okay, so now you're in your pink era.
I'm in my pink era.
So, all right. I love that for you.
It's exciting. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Ben. Like, let's start off light and fresh. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like a lot of like hard topics in this episode, a lot of topical topics because we live in America and there's like a lot of in an election year. So abortion and, you know, having the right to choose is like a hot topic of discussion. So we'll get there. But as usual, Ben is vibing, and I do love, so Felicity and Ben, obviously, they start their they got punished. They have to do community service.
Yeah, 50 hours is what Tony Pavone assigns them.
That's a lot.
And I think, did she say it had to be done by like the end of the semester or something? Like, that's tough when you're in college, you have a job, and now community service on top of that. That's a little tricky, but like, they could have gotten expelled, they could have gotten suspended, they could have been like on probation. Like, they got off kind of lucky here.
And luckily for them, they have the right to choose where they want to go. And Felicity wants to go to the health clinic and volunteer there because she wants to help people. Ben wants to follow Felicity. That is
the roles have reversed. Yeah. Ben is now stalking Felicity. And so he is also going to be working at the health clinic, even though, as we've stated in the past few podcasts, Ben doesn't really have a passion beyond swimming, right? Like, he's like, I like swimming. I like basketball. I can't really do either of those things at school. I don't really know what my path is. Tony seems to think you're better than average. You know, you're an above average person. You're an exceptional person. Well, you'll find your path.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, if you're going to get into NYU, although he did lie on his applications, maybe he just needs to get into swindling. Like, maybe he needs to be a professional con man.
I don't know that that's the path we want for him.
No? Okay. Well, so he's at the health clinic and the new boss, no idea what his name is, kind of a jerk off, but he's like, okay, bitches, what can you do besides answering the phones? And Ben's like, oh, I am the master of Excel. And Felicity's like, well, you know Excel? He's like, yeah, like I helped my dad, blah, 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 blah. And he lies. Like, he lies. He knows no thing about Excel. He just said it because, you know, you fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And it's like pretty quick until he realizes that the boss realizes that Ben lied because he spent an entire day instead of doing data entry or whatever he was supposed to do in Excel, just like pressing buttons. Like, whenever I pretend to work, I'm just like P, 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 V, T. Like, I'm just like pretending that I'm doing shit. So that's like basically what he did. And then the boss is like, yo, bitch, you gotta fire your friend. He's a lowlife.
This is fucked. This guy's basically like, you know, I hate having to deal with community service people because, and I understand where he's coming from, where he says they didn't even sign up to be here, meaning they don't want to be here. They're just here because of mandated community service. Therefore, they generally don't work as hard. And I think he has Ben's number. He knows the Ben type of like, you're coming in here, you're fucking around, you make my life harder, you're making all the other workers' lives harder.
Yeah.
However, I don't think going to Felicity and being like, you need to get your friend to leave because I can't fire him.
That just seems
like a terrible move.
Why can't he fire him? I guess because he's here for community service.
I suppose, although in my opinion, if somebody's really fucking about and not doing anything, you should be able to go to like Tony and be like, hey, this guy sucks. Like, please put him somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, that was strange. So at first, Felicity, I was like so proud of Felicity because Felicity was setting boundaries and she was like, look, like, that's not my job. I will not be doing that. It's inappropriate and I don't feel comfortable. And I was like, well, Felicity, like, that's great. Like, set your boundaries. Like, I agree with you. Like, you shouldn't be firing anybody. And then, like, she kind of immediately, when she sees Ben, goes back on that and is like, BTW, the big boss man wants to fire you. Yeah. And I was like, Felicity, like, you just said that's not your business. Stay out of it.
Yeah.
And Ben's like, fuck it, I'm going to leave school, fuck community service, fuck school, fuck everything. I'm going to drop out. I'm going to, like, pay my own path. And this is where, like, Tony comes in and is like, you are exceptional. You just got to find your path.
Yeah. He did apologize to Felicity and say, you know what, you were right. I shouldn't have just signed up for the health clinic. I need to, like, figure out what I want to do.
Yeah,
and I did think –
don't follow the pussy, right?
Don't do it. Like, you know, you and Felicity are a little bit not great together, right? You've had some, like, bad moments. I think you just need – I think what Ben needs to do is find something that's his, right? Like, swimming was his. Track was his. He needs to find something that he enjoys doing, that he's good at, that is solely his to, like, fuck around with. I did think Felicity buying him the Excel for Dummies was really cute. And it really brought me back because you remember when the blank for Dummies was all the rage?
Yeah, I absolutely do. When you went to the Barnes & Noble, those dummy books were everywhere. And she's like, don't take the dummy thing personally. It's just the name of the book. And he was a little offended.
He took it personally.
Yeah.
He did say Sean taught him a little bit about Excel. And I think here's the thing, as someone who is like self-taught, a lot of the Excel stuff I know, or the Google Sheets is more what I use because fuck Microsoft, I'm not paying for you. I think the thing is, maybe this is something they teach now because it's been a hot minute since I've been in school. Excel should be like required learning for most kids, like learning the formulas, learning, because it's like a really, really helpful tool. Obviously, this is back in the 90s prior to it being mandated, you know, like typing probably wasn't even mandated at this point when we're watching the show. But yeah, I wish I had more. I wish I learned more about Excel in my schooling.
I think that when I was in high school, I took Excel. And I think like that was like kind of like a first year 101 type of class, like making sure you knew the Microsoft suite or whatever when I was in college. So I think that maybe you just didn't come across it.
My school was also like small and kind of rural. And so it's possible that like they just didn't have it.
I have a question because this is something that I recently learned about and I thought that this was just a Midwest thing, but apparently it's national. Have you ever heard of 4-H?
I don't know what that is. Is it a new way of learning or something? Like
no,
a new way of teaching?
No, it's basically like a way for kids to pursue their passions and then like get rewards. So like there's like a whole big like 4-H list. Like you can Google 4-H. And then like they like pursue, like say like if you're not like a traditional learner, like you're more interested in like a trade or something, you can pursue like a jewelry path, you can pursue like a painting path. But then it also like goes to like STEM type of things. It also goes to like animal handling.
And that's then, really like, cool.
Yeah. And then like you like submit your projects and you can like win and get like pushed forward to like a more national competition. You get like blue ribbons. And I think like the purpose is like for you to like explore like different trades, like different things, interests. Like not everybody is like a traditional learner, but also like it's a way for like kids that are not very like into sports to get like merits and like accomplishments.
Yeah.
And I like had never heard of this, and like Adam and like our friend Andrew was like talking about it. Andrew's little sister like is such a overachiever, and she like basically like pursued like 8 different 4-H's.
Oh my gosh.
And like, she like made a coffee table for woodworking, and she did a painting, and she did jewelry making, and she like raised rabbits. And I'm just like, I'm like, this type of thing, like, and apparently it's national, but like I've never heard of it. Like,
no, we had a thing called BOCES, which was like, I think it's a New York State thing, which it stands for Boards of Cooperative Educational Services. But basically BOCES was more of like you were saying, a trade school.
Yeah.
So the way it worked is you had to be older. I think it was in high school, and it was at a certain age. If you didn't necessarily learn via the normal avenue of just sitting in a class and getting taught to and, you know, on, and you knew that you wanted to do something like a trade or technology or carpentry, plumbing, whatever, any of that sort of stuff, you would leave school and go to like the BOCES center. Yeah. And
I remember something similar, but it was like, right, like it was like plumbing or electronic, like
it was trade school. It wasn't like all the other stuff you just described, which sounds really cool.
That's like the thing. Like there wasn't like these like arts or like animal handling or whatever. It was just like very interesting. And like this is like the type of thing like for kids like Ben that like aren't excelling in traditional learning, like having something like to explore these different avenues, like give them confidence in learning that like, oh, like this is actually what I'm passionate about, like, or this is something that I'm like actually good at. It's just like something like really interesting.
And it could have been like, I mean, my school certainly was on the smaller side and didn't have like a ton of extra funding. You know, there were certain sports we didn't even have. And that's just like, you know, that's one of the things where when I left high school, I had found my calling. Like I was super passionate about any particular.
It must have been really hard for you.
It was. I never had a particular passion about any activities or hobbies. It was just really hard for me when I got to college. But now I'm fine. But I think you're right. I think with something like a 4-H, it does allow younger people to find something that they like and are passionate about and explore it while they're still super young, and give them a better head on their shoulders for, you know, moving forward. Because Ben feels like a little bit of like your typical college student who's just trying to find his path and like what he likes. And I like that we're getting that on the show, because I think it's a real thing. It's not everyone – not everyone goes to college and it's like, I know immediately what I want to do.
Yeah, the average student changes their major like at least like – I think it's like once or twice, if not more.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I changed my major. I'm pretty confident you changed your major as well.
I did, yeah.
So it's extremely common, because it's like pretty ridiculous to ask like an 18-year-old – or a 17-year-old what they want to do for the rest of their lives. Sometimes even earlier, because like they're applying to schools. And looking at schools as early as like sophomore year. And they're like supposed to like like a lot of kids have to like be like, this is the major that I am intending on entering when they apply for schools. It's just like so unrealistic. And then like most of the time, like kids don't even end up in their field that they graduate in, so they spend all this money learning a particular thing and they don't even end up there. I know it's like extremely common for my field, interior design. Like I could probably, even like the best student who was like the golden child, she did not even end up in interior design. She does real estate, which is like adjacent, but still like it's not like in interior design. like in a whatever. So yeah, so Ben is a he's feeling a little lost. I think like with Tony, he's going to be able to figure something out. I have faith. He's not dropping out of school, even though he really, really wants to. And then I guess the only other thing in terms with like Ben's storyline is that, like, you know, from working at the clinic, he unfortunately, I mean, like, this is like the downside of working at the school clinic, especially when, like, you know, people are going to come in that you know, and then that's like kind of like a breach of privacy. But he finds out what's going on with Ruby and Noel, and Ben really, like, he's always so well-intentioned, but like everybody wants to fight him at all times. So he like goes to Noel, and like, yes, it's like in a public place, it's at a bar, and like maybe he could have like approached it a little more delicately, but he's like, hey, I know what's going on with you and Ruby. I just want to say, like, I can understand where you're coming from. Like, I had to go through the same thing in high school, which is like an interesting thing to learn about Ben. And his backstory. And he's like, I can just relate to you. Like, I understand you. And then, of course, Noel's like, you don't know me. Like, how dare you come in and, like, say, like, you know, talk about my private business in a public place. And it's like, no, like, he's just trying to be there as a buddy. Like, come on.
I think the thing is a lot of the rivalry has always been pretty one-sided between them.
That's so true.
And Noel really dislikes Ben. And so I think, like, Noel is already very stressed, right? And to have someone who you actively dislike come up and be like, I know a big secret of yours, and let me just give you my 2 cents. I think Noel's just like, I don't care about your 2 cents. Like, please leave. I totally agree. I think Ben was trying to be nice and just trying to be like, hey, I've been through this. Like, it sucks, but you'll get through it. And I think Noel was just not in the place to wanna hear that.
Noel's such a freaking dick at times. Like, I don't know. Like, I understand, like, it's a pride thing. It's the fact that it's Ben. It's the fact that, like, the very first thing he heard from all of this was like, oh, you're working someplace with Felicity. Like, it's just so stupid. And then do we know what Ben's new placement is yet for community service?
No. He was talking to Tony about it, but I don't think we've established what it is yet. We just know it's no longer the community, the health clinic, the local health clinic, where Felicity is going to be staying, and she seems to be doing well there. I think this is really interesting considering Felicity changed her major to art, right? Like, she is now going down that path, but obviously a health clinic is much more on the medical side. So I think it's really interesting to kind of
bridge the gap.
Yeah. And I think this is a good move for her. I think if she's still, because I have to assume beyond the reason of the pressures from her family to pursue being a doctor, there had to have been a part of her that was like, I get to help people. And so if she wants to still do that without necessarily having to be a whole, you know, a whole doctor, go through that whole route, it makes sense to me that she would volunteer at a health clinic and be helpful in that way. And I do think there is something that, you know, I think Felicity does have a good way of speaking to people, where if she has to answer the phone, I mean, you could certainly have worse people answering your phone, and, you know, and their boss is just like, yeah, just don't get us sued. Like, just that's the bar you have to cross.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good bar. I got it. I got something for Felicity. Art therapy.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. I feel like she could definitely be a teacher or something, like, in that regard. You know what I mean? Like, work with people, still get to do the art thing. She could even, like, do art on the side as well at the same time.
Yep.
So I think
this
that works.
Is what Felicity should pursue.
We figured out her future.
I don't know if art therapy was a thing back then, but yeah. So in terms of Felicity, like, she's kind of just, she's not like our forefront character. We see her having to, you know, manage the, just like other people's problems, talking about like helping people. And then, of course, like, she's excelling at the clinic, because, like, you know, like we said, like, she's there to help people.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Anything else with Felicity that you want to mention?
No, because the only thing is the time where she talks to Noel, which kind of dovetails us into Nolan and Ruby anyway, if we want to get into their storyline.
Sure. So, all right. So in terms of Noel and Felicity, Ruby, rather, I just want to, like, of course, like we were saying, like, I'm not like very big on like airing out like political things on this podcast, because, you know, I want to be inclusive of everybody. But something that I feel extremely passionate about is the right to choose. And I just like, I really like the fact that Ruby had the choice in this episode to either explore having an abortion if she wanted to, or keeping the baby. I think it's great that she has the ability to choose which path she goes on. And then, as everybody knows, like, you know, Roe v. Wade got overturned so that it goes back to the states, and I am currently a resident officially as of yesterday. I went to the BMV. They call it BMV over here. It's pretty
fun. That's weird.
I know. Bureau instead of department. Okay. It's pretty weird. But I live in a state. I am registered to vote in a state that does not allow abortion, and I fucking hate it. And I hate the fact that my future child is going to have less of a choice in the matter, less options than I grew up as. I think it's so fucking backwards. And I really think that's such a personal decision. Like, I think that everybody has their reasons for or against, and I think that everybody should have their opinions, even if it's different from mine, for or against. But I do think it's a personal matter. So I just, like, you know, I just, like, can't talk about this episode without being, like, you know, just, God, we're in an election year. It's, like, going to be – it's already so volatile.
It's a very scary time to be anything but a man, in my opinion. Like, it's really scary. It's really difficult. And thankfully, Ruby does have – the options. And I'm so pleasantly surprised with the way that was all handled this episode. You know, I made some predictions last episode on, like, I thought Noel was going to be like, let's do this thing, let's have a baby, because he can romanticize things to a degree. Mm-hmm. And I was nervous that that was the way it was going to go. And in fact, it is kind of the opposite, where Noel is like, how are we going to do if, like, you can choose, but how will we do this? What jobs could we get? How would we be able to raise a baby realistically? And he ultimately is very supportive of Ruby, no matter what her decision is.
Which I'm not surprised by. Like, I'm not surprised that that was, like, where he went down.
No, he's very logical. Yeah. It does make sense.
And I do like the fact that, like, we kind of go back and forth between, like, what Ruby wants, which I think is extremely realistic. I think that she's, like, weighing her options. And, like, I really have zero problem with her. I think the show did this very well, is where I'm getting at. Because, like,
yes,
at her official instinct is like, I don't want to be pregnant. Like, I can't have a baby. They make the appointment to terminate the pregnancy. And then ultimately she decides that she can't go through with that. And I think that's fine. Like, with her own morals and her own thoughts and, like, her own capacity, she decides that she wants to keep the baby. And Noel's like, if that's what you want to do, we're going to figure it out. Yeah. I think it's, like, not a terrible thought to be like, okay, Ruby, like, how are we going to do this? I thought, like, it was a little dismissive that she's like, how are you going to be, like, 18 years old? Like, what kind of job can you get with no education? It's like, bitch, she just did a movie. She could be a fucking actress and have a baby. That's not a problem. Like,
no, I think the thing that's interesting, though, is I think this is also the 90s, where it's a lot easier to get a job without a college education, whereas nowadays it's really hard to get any sort of job that makes any sort of money,
yeah,
without a college education, unless you're going into a trade or whatever, right? I was pleasantly surprised with how the show handled it, in that it, no matter what, like, Noel did bring up questions, which I think are on Ruby's mind anyway, right? Of like, okay, if this is what we're going to do, let's make a plan. How are we going to do this? And also, I think the option that wasn't really explored in this episode, but is certainly an option, is adoption, right? Like,
I think that's could something do that she could go down. I think that, like, it's like first step, like, do I want to terminate the pregnancy or do I want to go forward with the pregnancy? She decided that she wants to go forward with the pregnancy. Now she has the option of, do I want to get the baby up for adoption or do I want to keep the baby? Like, I think that and just once again, it's just so nice that she gets to choose how she wants to handle this.
Imagine being able to choose what you want to do with your own body. Yeah, I can't even fathom.
It's really just maddening. And, like, this is, like,
yeah, it's very topical, like, at the moment. Really, yeah.
You know, I don't get fired up about much, as you well know.
Yeah.
I am pretty
queen of, like, apathy.
I'm pretty apathetic at all times, but this is, like, one of the topics that I feel extremely passionate about.
As you should, right? It's your body, and, like, it affects you very personally. It's a very, very personal thing to be told what you can do and can't do with your own body and with your own life, because let's face it, this is not a – no matter what decision Ruby makes here – this is not a one-day decision. This is a decision that will affect her the rest of her life.
Yeah. And I would be completely transparent. Like, I've never gone through this. Like, I've never had to make this choice. Like, I've had friends that have, and I've supported whatever decision that they ultimately chose. So it's like, I can't relate exactly to what Ruby is going through, but, like, I can empathize with her. That's a big choice. So, so we kind of go through this, and I think, like, the thing, aside from the fact that, I think the show did this very well, what I think the show did not do well is the dramatic music. It just really made it into a joke for me.
It was like 20 times in the episode they did that.
Yeah, it was maddening. Like, really maddening that we had to hear it over and over again. Yeah. And it just made something – it was distracting, honestly. Like, I think music in a show or a movie is supposed to be additive. I think that it's supposed to – I mean, like, it really could make or break something. Like, the reason why horror movies work so well are the musical – implements. Like, I'm thinking, like, Jurassic Park your favorite movie? Like, without that big sweeping score, is it even Jurassic Park? So, like, music can really make or break a show, and it made this, like, almost comical, which is unfortunate because I think otherwise this show did a very good job handling a very tough topic.
Yeah, especially I do want to shout out the Felicity scenes that we get, right? Because I think that the Nolan Ruby scenes were really impactful and fraught. I think I appreciated how they depicted those characters going through the motions and like trying to figure this out. And then we have Felicity who gets involved, right? She sees Ruby crying in the bathroom and asks if she's okay. And she just says, "I'm pregnant." And she asks, like, "Did this ever happen to you, Felicity?" She's like, "No, but I know someone it happened to." And of course she's talking about her parents. So, you know, my mom, she was 19. She got pregnant. They got married. And she's like, "Oh, did they work out?" And she's like, "Well, actually they split up recently. So I don't know." And I feel so bad for Ruby. I wish she would speak to more of like a counselor than, I mean, not that speaking to your friends and everything isn't helpful.
Well, as a reminder, Felicity is her RA, which I actually don't think, I mean, like we're talking about like, what's an RA's job? I actually don't know if like, I almost think that going to your RA is maybe a good first step.
I think that's the thing, a first step, right? First like step, I feel like then Felicity should say, here are some resources for like a counselor you can speak to about this. Because when she asks, like, am I doing the right thing? I love Felicity's answer of, I can't tell you. Like, it doesn't matter what I think or what anyone else thinks. Like, this is you. This is your decision to choose. And I love that. I love what Felicity says here, but I do think Ruby, no matter what Ruby decides to do, she should really get some help with this. I mean, obviously we're a very pro therapy podcast, and like, even in the normal day-to-day life, right? Life gets difficult and tricky, and you need to talk to somebody about it. Certainly through times like these, it'd be nice to have someone to chat with. And so, yeah, I love what Felicity does in this episode in terms of speaking to Ruby and then talking to Tony about it and being like, I don't know what to do. And I love Tony's advice of like, this is a Noel thing. You know what I mean? Like, you can't make it a you thing. This is a Noel thing. Yeah. And like, you just need to like be there for him. And I appreciated Felicity's part in all of this and going to Noel and saying, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm here for you, like whatever you need. I don't know. I appreciate it. It's really interesting the way they're kind of tying these different storylines together, right? Like, we know Felicity's parents are splitting up, and the reason they got married in the first place, at least seemingly, was because her mom got pregnant with Felicity. So the way it all kind of ties together is really interesting.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that despite the fact that Felicity's going through a lot as well, her parents are getting divorced and she just found out that she was a result of like, you know, she was an accidental pregnancy, all of that. I appreciated that she was able to give such solid advice while simultaneously going through all of this.
I also appreciate that Ben wasn't gossipy. Like, he didn't go right to Felicity and be like, guess what I just learned? Like, she learned authentically through Ruby what was going on, which I thought was really, really good. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think my stance is like, I don't think we're going to go forward with this show seeing like Ruby and Noel raise a baby in college. Like, I just like can't imagine. I mean, like, maybe like, I mean, we always said this show zigs when we think it's going to zag. So like, maybe, and maybe that's like a interesting perspective of like young parents in college that I don't know if I've seen in media, but I just would be very surprised if that's where we're leaning. So it's kind of like, where are we going to go from here? Like, I don't think that Amy Smart is going to be like a permanent character in this show. I mean, maybe she is. I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you, but
I could see her being like in a few seasons and then leaving. But I agree with you that I don't see the like Ruby and Noel have a baby and get married storyline for this show. I don't know. I hope, I hope we don't have the whole like miscarriage storyline. Like that would just be so brutal. And yeah. again, like it happens. I'm not saying like I don't. It's a thing that is so common and not talked about enough.
One in four or one in six pregnancies end up in a miscarriage.
I mean, yeah. And let's be honest, Sarah, you know, it's a whole thing where like you're not supposed to announce that you're pregnant until a certain part of like point in time because there's a chance.
Yeah,
because there's a chance you could miscarry. And it's like, why are we silencing people and not letting them have conversations about things that is so, so common and so difficult? And like, in my opinion, is something that you would benefit from having community around.
Yeah. But well, because I mean, like this is like something that's been going on for ages. It's because it's quote unquote shameful for the woman. The woman often blames themselves for if I didn't have this cup of coffee or if I didn't do this like run or whatever, then like they oftentimes like find that they like feel like they have to blame themselves when in reality it's just it could happen for a number of reasons. Just like it's shame based is why.
I'm just interested to see where they're going to go from here. I would love to see them if Ruby decides that she doesn't want to have an abortion. I would love to see them at least have the conversation about is adoption an option for us.
Yeah,
sure. I think it'd be like really responsible of the show, and also I don't know, just interesting to see. Again, I think something that we enjoy, Sarah, it doesn't always go well, but something we enjoy is looking at these shows that are 30 years old at this point through a lens of 2024. Yeah. And I'm interested to see how the show handles it, because I gotta say, I was very impressed with how they handled it this episode.
I will say that, like, I think out of all the shows that we have covered on Shit 90 Shows, Tommy, I think that Felicity handles these topics that are hard the best, and I think it holds up the most. And
I think so too.
If you disagree.
No, I think you're right. I think that, I mean, Boy Meets World certainly wasn't as dramatic of a show. No, I do think they did a decent job most of the time, considering it was a kids show.
Yeah,
Dawson's Creek was much more irresponsible. You know, they really glorified the like inappropriate relationships and all of that. I feel like Felicity, if we want to have examples of that sort of thing, right? Like the Pacey and what's her face was like glorified and made into like a really like, ooh, look at how saucy it is. Whereas Elena and her professor, it was like, it's not great. And now it's over and we don't talk about it. And it's done.
Yeah.
You know, just as like a way to compare them. But I totally agree.
I back. Like Boy Meets World at times, like we applauded it, but I also think like how they, like, I mean, it was such a forward show for the time, but I think like at times, like I'm thinking to like the Topanga pregnancy storyline.
Oh, it was so bad. Yeah.
That was like so cringe.
It was really bad. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think this is definitely the one that's handled things the best so far. I could see Buffy being pretty good at it. We just haven't gotten into those sort of storylines with Buffy.
Yeah. But then we have like Xander being like an asshat a lot.
90% of the time. Yeah. Although it does have like badass females in terms of like heroes and villains. So that is something that is pretty progressive of the show.
Sure.
But yeah, so overall, I think the Ruby and Noel stuff was handled with care, and I'm interested to see where we go from here, because, you know, Ruby decides she can't get an abortion. She doesn't want to do it. And so she leaves, and Noel is of course left feeling very scared in that he will do whatever Ruby wants, but if she decides she doesn't want an abortion, obviously that affects him and he's going to be there, but he doesn't know how to do it. But I think Noel will make a really great partner and dad, because he feels like someone who will take responsibility and be there no matter what the like relationship status is with him and Ruby. You know, I do think as much as we like shit on Noel, I think that he would step up if that was the situation he was in.
Noel is really good. He just needs to cook a little. Like, I can see in 10 years Noel being a great husband and partner.
Yeah.
And when he like kind of like releases all this weird jealousy stuff and like the the kidness in him. I think like he has good bones. I mean, like, of course he has to put in work in himself. If he doesn't do that, he's probably just going to get worse. But yeah, like he has like a good foundation to be a good partner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll see what's going on with them. I am very curious as well to see how we will step forward. And I felt like the conversation that Noel had with Felicity about being, he's like, you know, I feel less capable than the energy I give off, it was pretty relatable interesting conversation, because Felicity's like, if anybody can do this, like, you can, you're so capable. And he's like, I just feel like a mess. Like, I'm like, yeah, you know, like, I'm like a disaster mess. And I just thought that it was just like very interesting to have that conversation.
Yeah. Let's talk about Julie. I'm really sad that this went the way that I kind of suspected it was going to go when she first meets Eric. I feel so bad for the character of Julie. Like, it feels like it's different than Dawson's Creek. Like, we always joked that the show hated Jen and gave her like shit all the time. And I feel like Julie, but in a way where they made her character suck. And I feel like this show, Felicity, is like, we want to torture Julie. Julie will go through all of the terrible things all of the time. It's really tragic. And especially because, again, like, I also think this was handled very well in that Julie is going to like get signed. She's going to make a record, right? Eric, this new guy she met that works for Pop Rocks, brings her in, talks to like, I don't know, his boss or something, convinces his boss that like, okay, we need to sign her. She's great. Let's do it. Julie and Eric go out to celebrate, get a little like tipsy, come back to the apartment. They're alone there. And she says later, I kissed him because, you know, he seemed to want it. And I was grateful that he did that for me. So I kind of went along with it. But then they're on the couch. He's on top of her. She, again, I can't reiterate enough. Enthusiastic consent is what we all should be looking for. Okay. I'm sorry. There are social cues. If you could see someone's not interested, if they are saying, wait, hold on, stop, you stop. No questions asked. You don't get angry. You just stop because you have zero idea what that person has been through. Because Sarah, let's pretend. Let's play a pretend game of Julie is interested in Eric romantically, right? She might be saying stop because she's being triggered by something that brings her back to a previous bad experience. Yeah. And so her saying stop and him, first of all, ignoring her and just continuing, and her eventually yelling at him and he gets off of her, is pissed off and storms out. My heart broke for Julie because all she wanted was a record contract, Sarah. That's all she wanted. She didn't ask for any of the rest of this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in addition to that, it's like she will always question if he was vouching for her because he believed in her, or was he vouching for her because he wanted to be with her. Yes. And I think that that is always, especially with Pop Rocks, that is always going to be like a doubt in her mind. And that really, really, really sucks.
Yeah, it's really awful. And she doesn't know what to do, because then when she tries calling him the next day, you know, he's like uninterested. He doesn't even want to talk to her. She's upset. Sean tries to like console her and ask her what happened. And she basically is like, you were right, which also must feel like shit to be like, I was wrong. I must have no talent. He obviously only wanted me for, you know, to kiss me or have sex with me or whatever.
Yeah.
I just feel so bad for Julie. She's been through so much, especially like we've seen this, you know, we've been here, like she's been taken advantage of now. She's been assaulted now twice. Well, like, and this is three times, right? She said she had a pass with it in the first time. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And this is too common of a thing that actually does happen, where it's like, I don't know the stats on it, Sarah, but like, again, what we talked about, like miscarrying, like it's also super common for women to be sexually assaulted in one way or the other. And it's just awful. It's awful that she even was put in this position in the first place to feel like I was just grateful for what he did. So I thought, what's the harm in kissing him a little bit? You know, do you even feel like that pressure is on you in that way? I just feel so bad for Julie. And I got to tell you, Sarah, as soon as she walked in that apartment and she was alone, I was like, oh my God, please say someone is home. Like, please say someone else is home with her.
No, no. So I agree. Like, I really feel for Julie, and I feel really bad that this is like a repeated issue. And I do think that, you know, I think that women do find themselves going into this like cycle, and where they are in these positions like repeatedly, and it's like obviously not their fault, but then like as Julie was saying, when it happened the first time, like how can she not blame herself in her mind? And I don't know, like I love Julie, but I don't think NYU and New York City's for her.
She needs a fresh start. She definitely needs a fresh start. Cause it's, she even says after this, Sarah, when she's having the conversation with Sean, she says, it was my fault, which it's never your fault. I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care how much you drank. It is never your fault. And so to hear her say that broke my heart. She says, I didn't want him to feel rejected. So I let him kiss me and I kissed him. And I guess I owed him, right? Like he did so much for me. And Sean is really great in this moment too. He says, if he did this to get close to you, like he's terrible. And either way, you don't owe him anything.
The only issue is that Sean also has feelings for Julie and also wants to hook up with her. So it's like, I don't even know if like I feel that great if Sean talks to her at times, because it's like, I mean, like he hasn't done anything. He's very respectful, but like she can kind of get into the same rhythm of being like, oh, Sean's so good to me. He's like the only man that's like there to support me. Like I know he likes me. Like, what's the harm in like giving him like what he wants? Like, I just feel like, I don't know. This is why I like, I don't know. I know like we strongly disagree on this topic, but this is why I do not trust platonic opposite sex friends.
I just don't.
Like, I just think that like there is no very, I cannot imagine a situation where it doesn't turn into this in some capacity. I just like don't. Like I just like
I mean, I have plenty of male friends that I do not want to have sex with. I would say I think if Sean is smart here and if he's empathetic and, you know, emotionally mature, I think the move is you cannot under any circumstance attempt to date Julie at this moment, at this time. I think she needs a friend. She doesn't need a boyfriend. She needs a friend who is there and who will help her work through this. I think if he suddenly makes a move on her, tells her how he feels, whatever, I think you're exactly right that that is how she will feel. That she will feel like, oh, he was only kind to me. He was only nice to me. He only let me move in because he has feelings for me. And she doesn't need that. She needs a friend. So I hope that he's smart enough, but I don't know. I think sometimes people can be very selfish with their own emotions, right? It's like, oh, I owe it to her to tell her how I feel. It's like, you're doing that for her. Or sorry, you're doing that for you, not for her. Yeah. So I hope he's smart enough to not try to make a move right now. I guess time will tell, but I just feel so bad for Julie. She really does need a friend, and like, her and Felicity somewhat made up. It seems like her and Elena are pretty good. I really hope she can find someone to confide in, specifically a non-man, because I think, I don't know. I don't know about you, Sarah. Like, I personally feel like when I
– that she can have a platonic –
No, it's nothing about it being platonic. It's more about being able to relate to that. Not saying men don't get assaulted, but I don't know, personally, like when I have a therapist, I like it to be a woman, because I just feel like there, we go through things as a community, as a gender, that like men don't necessarily deal with as much, right? Like, again, men can be assaulted too. I'm not saying that. I do think, I hope she finds someone to confide in, whether it be man, woman, otherwise. Like, I hope she finds someone she could talk to, but I think it would be easier to talk to someone who's been through a similar experience. And unfortunately, because it's so common, probably won't have to reach that far to find someone that has. But yeah, I agree with you. I think she needs to move. She needs to move to like San Diego where the weather is nice.
Move to Nashville. If she wants to get into music, I don't think that the West Coast is probably a good fit for her either. I think that she should move to Nashville and like go, like that's really like the music capital of the country. Like I think go there. And just like something like a little bit like, I mean, I'm sure bad shit happens in Nashville too, especially in the music industry.
Oh, bad shit happens everywhere, right? Yeah. Like it's unfortunately, it's not, you can't escape that. Yeah. But
I just think that she like needs to be with like-minded people that are passionate with music. And I feel like Nashville is a good fit for her.
Yeah, but unfortunately, she has too much story left to tell here. I don't think she's leaving New York anytime soon.
I hope in one season's time, she goes off to Nashville.
Yeah. That's essentially Truth or Consequences. A very heavy episode. Yeah. But again, I feel like they handled it pretty well. So I don't really have any nits to pick in that regard.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see kind of where we go from here with Ruby and Noel and Julie. It seems like Felicity and Ben are getting closer, right? They're like hanging out more. So I assume we're going to get more in the romance vein from them. People we didn't see this episode are Elena and Tracy. I was disappointed because we had just met Tracy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I was hoping to get him this episode and see kind of their friendship evolve. But maybe
probably,
next episode.
Probably next episode. Yeah.
Yeah. But let's get into the feedback that we have. So we got an email from Jamie saying this was a pretty heavy episode for everyone and not a fun one, but definitely compelling. I was disappointed we didn't get any Elena or Tracy in this episode. My favorite thing is by far this journey of self-discovery that Ben is on. I'm very interested to see what career path he ends up choosing. I continue to love his scenes with Felicity, and I love how he's able to be vulnerable with her about his insecurities. It reminds me of the season one episode Spooked, where he opened up to her about his father's issues with alcohol and violence and how his reason for moving to New York was because he was tired of feeling unsafe.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you two. Do you think Felicity is catching on that Ben is interested in her again? Because I can't really seem to tell.
Maybe. I also kind of think that Felicity just assumes that Ben is like a flirty guy. Like, I kind of think that that's where she probably lands, because I think like she realizes that like he doesn't totally have like the capacity to be a boyfriend or like a committed partner. But like Ben loves to flirt, and maybe like she is just like, yeah, like he's interested in me, but like in a way that like he just wants to have a good time. So like I think like she probably knows that like he finds her attractive, that like he wouldn't mind like something like fun and casual, and that like, but I think that like she does not think that he is interested in anything serious because of like his experiences and what he experiences, like she experienced with him. So like if anything, she's just like, yeah, like maybe he wants like a casual hookup, he's flirty, he like maybe wants to flirt with anything, is kind of how I read it.
I agree. I think that he's always been flirty with her. That was never the problem. Yeah. It was just a matter of how serious they wanted to be, and they had differing viewpoints on that. So I think she feels the vibes with him and feels the energy of them, you know, getting along and being great together. But I don't think she's thinking about that seriously, because he's not, you know, he's giving off the vibe that he doesn't. But we know he said to Sean, you were wrong, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we'll see. I can see him doing some sort of grand gesture, some Fran Drescher, if you will, sometime soon.
I don't know. I don't know if he has the capacity, honestly.
I think he does. But let's hear a voicemail from our friend Temi.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, Thera, she wins the bet on a technicality. But remember when Andy was on the student committee in season 3 of Dawson's Creek and she was assigning students detention for school rules that were no longer relevant?
Yeah.
Principal Green reversed those detentions. changes in circumstances require changes in laws, amendments, judgments, interpretations, and appeals processes. Or
damn, Tommy.
Help for the Lovelorn is like a dream sequence. A dream sequence not from any of the characters, but actually the show's creator, J.J. Abrams. Since he's not a character in the show, the actions in this episode don't really inform the characters going forward, which is where the canon-non-canon issue comes from Adam and Todd. If we learn later that the events from this episode inform the characters, much like Eloise Mintumble and her efforts with the Time Turner necklace from Pottermore affect Time Turner necklace use in the books, then like Pottermore, this episode is canon. And then
but the receipts
count in the evaluation of the bet. Plus, there is the June 5 episode of the podcast Dear Felicity. Wait until all of the episodes are over and you've covered them and listen to or read the transcript of the podcast. J.J. Abrams will provide some ideas on the subject of the bet, and his words will clarify things.
Ooh.
So I think we can just wait until then, just like Adam was suggesting to wait. Thanks. Bye.
Wow. Temi's so
like patience, please. Patience.
Temi is very methodical, and he brought up amendments. He brought up the Constitution. Like he's taking Adam's side in terms of wait and see, because apparently at some point J.J. Abrams talks about this.
In like an interview, or
it sounds like it.
Do you think that we should reach out to J.J. Abrams and have J.J. Abrams decide who wins the bet?
That would be so funny. I think we need to, but we should wait.
We should wait. Yeah, patience, patience,
patience.
Do you think? I feel. I mean, I don't know anything about J.J. Abrams, but like, how could he not? Is he accessible?
He's very busy.
Via Twitter. What does he do now?
He's a TV show writer. What is he
working on right now?
Let me look recently. I know some stuff he's worked on recently, but let me look. Let me look at his IMDb.
Dude has no job right now.
What's he up to? Hey, he literally was executive producer on Presumed Innocent, which was an Apple TV show that like just came out.
I haven't heard anybody talking about that.
And he worked on Westworld.
I think he's pretty unbusy, actually.
He's pretty available. Yeah.
He's pretty available. I swear to God, if there is, I mean, like, is he available to like tweet at on X? At the end of the series, if we can get, I feel like we could.
Okay. I think you're shooting for the sky a little bit. I think he's more famous than you think he is.
He's nobody.
Okay. Maybe you shouldn't say that if we want to get into nobody. Oh my gosh.
J.J. Abrams only has 113,000 followers. To be honest with
you. How many followers do we have?
Like 100. No, a little bit more than that. A little bit more. Mr. Dude did tweet 3 days ago. I think we can get it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see. All right. Let's. I can't. Let's hear what DBK has to say.
What up, though, ladies? Okay, quick character ranking. In case people care, Julie obviously last. Ben next.
Wait, can you pause it?
What, DBK? Julie has been through so much. Why are you doing this to her?
How could you put her last?
She doesn't deserve that.
I mean, she might. We don't know.
But she doesn't now. She doesn't currently at this point in the show. I refuse to believe that she has done anything to warrant being in last place at this point in the show. Mm-hmm. All right, let's continue.
Elena, Javier, Felicity, Megan. All right, juice and consequence.
Over like every character.
He might have.
He just ranked the women and Javier.
He might have what I was. Maybe you said pause it when he said those names.
Oh, okay, okay.
We got some interesting stuff, I guess, this episode. Ruby decides she's gonna have the baby. We get Felicity and Ben on the roof again. We get some funny interactions between. I always like Ben is like low key funny with certain people. Him and Tony Pavone are pretty funny this episode.
Yeah.
The Paco Belli. Do you ever listen to Paco Belli? Like, who listens to Paco Belli, Ben? And Felicity's like, yeah, sometimes. Like, okay, Felicity. But he's here, possibly the worst character to grace Felicity. The one, the only, Greg Stenson. I hate a lot of people on this show, but Greg is number one with a bullet. You'll probably see why. And I like never seen this guy in anything else, but he did pop up on Veronica Mars. He's the cult leader, Sarah, from season one. That's about it for Truth and Consequence.
He's the boss. Greg is the health center boss. Health
center boss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the next couple episodes. I mean, we're on an upswing from here on out, I think. But the next couple episodes are going to be pretty fun. And the takedown of Ben Covington will be coming up for all the Ben Covington shippers or Team Ben people. Your downfall. The takedown. It's a coming. All right. Until next week, ladies. Peace.
So ominous.
Yeah, his time is over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's ominous. I mean, I don't like that. As legally, I'm Team Ben, so I don't appreciate that.
You love it. You're not.
You don't love it.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, we'll have to wait and see what that means. But next week's episode is titled "True Colors."
Oh. You see your true colors shining through.
Okay. Such a bop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So that'll be next week. We'll see how that unfolds. Anything else, Sarah, on this episode of Felicity?
Nopers.
Okay. So we're still covering Buffy. I feel like we're about to be in the hot zone for both of these shows simultaneously. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because I feel like this happens a lot where it's like they're both in a slump. Now they're both picking back up again. Then it's a slump again. Yeah. So, you know. So go check all that out. You could find us at Shit 90s Pod everywhere, shit90spod.com. If you want to be incredible and leave cute little voicemails, shit90spod.com is where you can do that. I'm still talking shit over on Talking Shit about Schitt's Creek. And Sarah's still over at Whirlwind. They have a ton going on. So check out all of it. There's Doctor Who is coming back. Veronica Mars is still going strong. Previously on. And then The Pretty Little Liars. That's going hard. Anything else, Sarah, you want to mention over there?
No, just follow along on Whirlwind Pods. See what we are up to.
Incredible. So we will catch you all next time. Until then, bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them. These gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.